The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Eric Fishman, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
Woo! The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
B-Pod Studios.
Scott Zolak, Mark Bertrand, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the Pats remain unbeaten at home. And now they've got to take a performance like today's and build on it, travel to Kansas City with it to beat the Chiefs for the second time this year,
yep,
as they will meet in the AFC Championship game next Sunday in Kansas City.
We got a battle ahead of us now. Hey, we need to go win on the road.
Zolak and Bertrand in the icebox today at Warrior. Woo! Woo! Cold in here today, fellas.
It's not bad. It's not bad right now, till.
What happened? What are you looking at there, Jim Love?
Just got really bright in here.
Oh, did it? The lights came on.
Yeah, what time they get in last night, the team?
Late.
Late?
Well, the game ended, what, like 9:30?
So what are you going to have? Maybe
they're
three?
They're only in Philly, though.
You going to have three guys show up for the morning skate? Huh?
I don't know. We'll count them. Let's know how many people show up for this.
That's oh, my God.
That's when the industrial blur is going. Second day
of back-to-backs.
Optional skate after being on the road last night.
What crew tell us after the new year? Yeah, we're well after the new year.
Oh, yeah.
Like, no vets. Out. Akis will be here. He'll be skating.
Yeah, what Krug said, he never does optional. When it's optional, I don't go.
Right.
It's just not something I do.
$6 million, tell Backus, you skate today, pal. Yeah.
Got to do something.
Correction. Day of game, he doesn't do the optional skate.
Yeah.
He's not one to ski. He doesn't like to skate if he doesn't have to the day of a game.
I don't blame him.
I don't blame him either. But Krug will be here in the building, I assume, today.
Yeah, we'll see.
Maybe get a chance to talk to him.
Maybe we'll get him on the phone today. That'd be fun.
Oh, no. You got to come. We came here for him.
He calls in and
I'll take
him
Jake
on the
DeBrusque.
Phone. We're throwing Dave and his camera out on the ice.
If Krug is not here, I take Jake DeBrusque. No problem. We'll let them know. Jake DeBrusque is more than welcome to join us.
Yeah, well, in person.
Yeah. Yeah, not on the phone.
Huh.
No, here at the table. All right, that clip you just heard was Julian Edelman on the sideline, mic'd up. We talked a little bit about that show going on TV last night. And while Josie is going on, you know, and Zoe's banging the side of the broadcast booth.
I'm banging. I'm dancing. That game a little this time.
Doing your thing. You didn't hit the side?
No, I did the shake. I was doing
the
shake.
Oh, you did?
They get Frank the Tank. People are going nuts.
So while that's going on, Edelman's on the bench saying, now we got to go win on the road.
We got a battle ahead of us now. Hey, we need to go win on the road.
We need to go win on the road.
Yeah, you're the number two seed. Number one seed advanced day prior.
Yeah, no, that's not what he's talking about.
I know.
What he's talking about is he doesn't feel they've had a good win on the road.
Right.
Or he just is acknowledging the obvious that the Patriots don't have any good road wins.
We haven't proven anything yet.
They haven't.
We got to go out and ball. I like that.
I think that is just so much more honest and truthful.
Yeah.
And interesting than don't bet again or bet against us, as he's challenging everyone to do.
Well, it's much better than
bet against us. What does that even mean?
I'll buy this shirt over the beat LA shirt.
Do you know what it sounds
like? What shirt would you buy?
What?
This shirt, don't
it's
bet against us.
It's a better looking shirt.
No,
the bet against us is a better
beat
looking
LA.
Shirt.
Beat LA. Like the beat LA thing.
Yeah.
This is a jumbotron.
At least this is a better looking t-shirt this week.
Yeah.
The bet against us. It almost sounds like a guarantee. I'm not a huge fan of the bet against us. I'm not.
That means they feel good. I'm kind of.
Bet against us. It's almost like because we're going to win. Like, yeah, finish the thought. Bet against you. Why?
It's Vinatieri stuff from 01. Don't talk to us. Yeah, we don't need you. We're good.
Wow.
They're confident. That's fine. That's great. And that guy's a money player. If that's some schlep saying that, I may have a problem with it. If that's Dwayne Allen, don't bet against us. Or
why does it matter who's saying it?
Because that's a guy who plays big.
It's just different.
Games. That's why.
It's just a different type of thing for the Patriots.
Well, it's almost like they need that this year.
Maybe.
Based on how they've played on the
road. But it's one thing to embrace the underdog role and then do your trash talking after you win the game. at, you know, after you go to Kansas City and win, then you say all the things you want to get off your chest.
Trey Flowers, who doesn't say anything ever,
yeah,
is chirping. I mean, like Cal Van Noy with us yesterday.
Well, it's one thing to say, I see everybody picking against us. I see you.
They do.
It's one thing. It's the other thing to challenge everyone to bet against you.
Don't pick against them, pal.
Like, go ahead. Ooh. Do it.
Sorry.
Make you pay. Bet against it. What is that? Is it guaranteeing a win? I mean, you're guaranteeing it? You're going to make us all look silly? By we bet against you and then you win on Sunday? Is that the plan here? But that, on the sideline, mic'd up, that's the honest truth. Julian Edelman knows they've had issues on the road, and they're going on the road to a tough place to play against a good team this weekend.
Yep.
So bet against them.
Start fast, man. Please start fast.
And if not, they need a lot of things to go right this weekend.
See that first quarter, man, with that
a lot of things.
Plus 91 with like KC and how fast they start. Bill keeps saying they're a fast starting team. Man, they got to be able to limit. They got to get to that second half where it's just an ultra-tight game where they got a 3 or 4 point lead. Kansas City doesn't finish as well as they start. That's a fact. Like, Mahomes is...
I can see that.
Is there a ferry here?
No, it's fine.
That's like being Disney. You ever beat Disney World? You hear that? And it's like Tinkerbell. They do that at the fireworks thing. They shoot this certain firework, and they play that sound.
No, I managed to avoid the Disney World trip for 12 years so far.
Smart man.
Keep the streak going.
Smart man. I've actually adopted his policy, which is...
Don't bring it up.
I don't bring it up.
You don't like taking your kids to Applebee's and like trying to get them in a booth and get them fed.
I don't bring it up.
You don't know.
And we will not go until someone is asking to go.
You don't know the lines, pal.
Well,
there are a lot of very extremely nice resorts, and to the point where after you leave the park the first day, you pretty much want to stay in the resort because pools are nice and you don't want to see a bus or a line. Oh, come back in 2.5 hours. You got the fast pass. That's fun.
Not only that,
go do something for 3 hours, then come back.
When one of them does ask the first time, Beetle,
yeah.
Do you always give in to every request one of your kids makes?
Hell no.
So because maybe in my house it has been brought up once or twice by one of them. And just kind of like, we'll see. It's not like we don't do anything. We do plenty. Yeah, but
you guys go on vacations all the time.
Yeah.
It's a reasonable amount.
Well, a couple times a year at least, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah. Mom, that's great.
Mom and dad are big.
It's a lot more than what some people can say.
Big Disney Club owners, and we, and they take care
of us.
Off topic. Very nice. No, but real quick.
Yes, hurry this
we
up.
Made the one mistake of going to Disney over Christmas and New Year's to the point we were staying at outside. We're staying at Beach Club. So you take the bus and you go to the Magic Kingdom. There's a 10-mile backup, 4 lanes. You see the cars. They closed the park because of the amount of people that were there at 10 in the morning. You couldn't move in the park. You couldn't walk with a stroller. You'd kill yourself.
I would.
Yeah, you'd kill yourself. I know you. I know you. How high strung your kids. You would literally hang yourself. You'd go, hey, lion. You'd go to safari. Aaron would have no clue where you're at, and you'd be at the safari park trying to get a lion cage.
I'd be trying to let the gorilla come beat the bag out.
Rubbing himself with meat.
Let's go.
Gorilla, beat the hell out of you.
Come on, gorilla.
They don't kill you. They just beat the hell out of
you. I know. They just beat the bag out of you.
Quick death.
And then you just die. So... as far as this
look, but that,
bet against this thing is, it's just, you know what it is? People want to sort of say, it's remember when the Patriots were underdogs? Yeah, 18 years ago. That was the last time that was the case, or 17 years ago. Great. But even a little bit after that, when they were sort of in an underdog role going into San Diego in 06, I remember them saying, like, everyone's picking against us. I don't remember Teddy Bruschi being like, bet against us. No, you know what he did? He went and played his ass off, and then after the game, he's in the tunnel going, lights out! Lights out after the game.
Still weren't done yet, though.
After the game. But they were talking trash about the Chargers after they beat the Chargers.
Okay, but the thing is with Edelman. Yeah. I mean, who had a better game than Edelman on Sunday?
Nobody.
So he's all fired up. He is running on just, nonstop adrenaline after that thing.
He's to his point. He's like, just like, hey, man, we got to go win. We got to go win on the road.
And
it's not smack talk.
But whether it's him or whether it's anybody, they're all feeling that right now. They put a beat down on that team. I don't fault them for feeling it. They're absolutely feeling it right now.
They're feeling the weight of an entire season. That's what they're feeling. This is the part that annoys you because now the national writers are like, "Who are you? You were favored last week. This isn't about one game against the Chargers." Their reaction is to the 24/7 hype psychoanalysis of the team and just. We hear it. Yeah. We weren't great this year. They weren't great, which justified the commentary. But these national people think they're playing the underdog role because they were favored against the Chargers and people were picking against the Chargers. No. If you're around this team and you cover this team, you know it's a year-long thing. We've been doing this from day one. Right? Right, Rowlitz? What are you doing here? LFG, sell the shirts.
What is he doing here?
I don't know.
What the hell is he doing
That's
here?
Strange. Mm. Maybe dropping off some nice hats.
To who?
Maybe the hockey
Bruins?
Team.
Oh, might be dropping something off.
Maybe hockey team wore some hats
what
tonight.
Is
Never
he
know.
Doing yeah. here?
We'll see.
How long was he standing there?
About 2 minutes.
I didn't even see who it was. Yeah.
What's he doing? Recon? What's he over here listening to the talk show in person? Take it back to the man himself?
Probably filming it. Chopra's probably behind that pole right now. Oh, get that. Yeah.
Brady's got all his people
Look
in the
at
building.
Him. And they're not even eating the nuts. It's all like pro salad, but he
who
put
was
cheese
it?
On it.
Disrespect yeah. AFC Championship yeah. week. He's doing the show at a hockey rink on AFC yeah. Championship. Yeah. That's disrespect.
Yeah. He took a picture.
Yeah. Bulletin board material.
That is,
here's the flagship of the New England Patriots. And an ice rink of AFC Championship. Win.
That is Tom Brady's top guy in the inner circle of trust.
Oh.
He's the wolf. And,
the guy that runs
him.
On the beach with him?
Yeah, that's him.
That's him.
That's not Ben.
Have you seen him five
that's Ben.
Years ago?
Oh, that was Ben.
That's Ben.
He was a chubby bunny 5 years ago.
And I was going to say, he's just a little guy.
He's on the program now. Cut.
He wasn't. Yeah. He wasn't. Stop it.
You're, he was a little chubby bunny.
He's lost some weight, but he wasn't chubby.
Oh, yeah, he was.
No.
Oh, yeah, he was.
I don't think so.
Yeah, he'll tell you that.
All right.
Yeah.
What the hell?
I'm looking over. I'm like, what?
That's weird.
What is he doing here? Wrong building. He's taking a picture. Disrespect. Doing the show with the Bruins. Paying too much attention to the Bruins
taking
today.
Taking pictures of us on the road. Yep.
It's Thursday. It's starting to feel like a bit much with all the media back and forth stuff. It's starting to feel like a bit much this week. Even the Chiefs are engaging in this crazy crap. The Chiefs are getting into it.
You must have heard the Kansas City stuff on Touch and Rich this morning.
Why?
It's unbelievable.
Right. You ever go to New York, and you watch the local newscasts in New York? Even them, they have the old time anchors on, and the lighting's not great. Why do we think our telecasts and news are up to date and hip? And
because they are.
I know they are. Yeah. Is it really that bad? Or you go to Florida?
Look at this.
Oh no, seriously. If we think.
So I tried to listen to a Chiefs show on a podcast. That's a podcast of a radio station broadcast, our show podcast. Yeah, I couldn't get through 5 minutes of it.
Why?
Because it's terrible.
It's on sports radio.
The content
is what you're saying?
Was terrible. Yeah, 6:10 in Kansas City.
I went on Seattle last night. And they're laughing because they beat Kansas City last game of the year. And they're laughing. What do you think about this and that? And they're playing my calls from the Russell Wilson thing. And I'm like, are we doing this again? And then you start getting down to it. They're like, it's a strange town.
I did learn though. They call Laurent Duvernay-Tardif LDT. They don't even bother saying
do
the
they?
Name. Just LDT. That's his name.
Nice.
LDT. MD.
Is he good enough? Is he good enough to get
LDT? Yeah, you know
the
me.
Former player they had. I couldn't get it right. Kept calling him LTD.
Yeah.
LTD.
LTD. Good. That's cute.
Update on the Bruins,
Kingdom.
By the way.
Kingdom
from our airplane guy.
Yeah.
From our airplane insider.
Oh,
Wheels up for the Bruins last night. 11:32 out of Philly. Landed at Hanscom at 12:20. 48 minutes in the air.
That's easy.
That's what we got.
Easy.
He's tracking all the flights.
Tuca could have made last call buffs.
Oh, but right? 617-779-0985. We got more to get to on the Patriots. And also, Kyrie Irving this hour. Billy Jaffe will join us coming up at 10:50 this morning. All right, so?
Good
to go? All right, we're off and running.
Bruins are in action tonight on the Sports Hub. Zolak and Bertrand are on the Star Market Sports Deck at Warrior Ice Arena on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I like how you play too, bro.
All night long. Like Lionel Richie, bro. All night long.
More from Julian Edelman, who had a heck of a game last Sunday against the Chargers. You know who's not getting enough credit around here this week?
Tom Brady.
The fact that Kansas City Chiefs playing at home.
Yeah.
Not getting enough credit for that, I don't think, to this point. I don't think people are respecting that enough.
They're favored.
No, I mean here, in this market.
Oh. Again, coming off that win against the Chargers,
right? I don't think
they're
as good as they were 4 weeks
ago. I just don't know how 1 week you say they're home, right? They're home. That's a huge advantage of being home. Does that not apply to the Chiefs?
No, it does. It's your building.
Well, it's a huge advantage for anybody playing the Patriots this season.
It's you operating in the end zone.
Even more
sides,
so than what it already crowds. Is.
Yeah.
I mean, it already is a massive advantage this weekend without playing a team that stinks on the road.
Like I said,
we'll make our final decisions on this tomorrow. But I was you asked me, you know, a couple of weeks ago. If it lines up that the Patriots end up in Kansas City for the AFC Championship game, I give them even like a 20% chance of winning that game. Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes, and they barely beat him here at Gillette and blah, blah, blah. Now they're going to be in Kansas City. It was swinging closer to 50-50 after that game on Sunday when I, you know, saw how good and how healthy all the Patriots looked. And, quite frankly, the temperature and the weather factored in. Okay, this might slow things down a bit. This might make for a lower-scoring game. So I started to like the Patriots' chances better. As long as the forecast has that mercury rising bit by bit, I'm starting to go back to my original position where I think the Chiefs are favored for a reason, and whether or not they're getting enough respect from Patriots fans, so be it. I mean, I don't blame Patriots fans for expecting their team to win and going to win an AFC championship. It's not exactly like you're going out on a limb. But realistically, what about Kansas City indicates to you that they are not ready for this and any other challenge that comes their way?
December changed
nothing
a little bit.
I don't have anything. I don't know what I can cling to.
I remember coming out of Pittsburgh, and it's a big two-game lead. That two-game slide, now all of a sudden you're two games behind Kansas City. Yeah, you get the tiebreaker, but you're behind them. To think even you had a chance going into that last weekend to potentially lock up that number one seed, Kansas City sort of slipped back at the end. You know, you lose the back. You're not as dynamic as you were earlier in the year. They're good. They took care of business at the end. You took care of business against two teams. It's very similar. I just think New England, with health, and both teams are completely healthy. So I think it's great that Eric Berry's going to play, that Houston's going to play, because nobody can make any excuses after Sunday. Because you got your guys. Patriots have their guys. But it just seems like there's a different level of confidence with the Patriots team that's swinging positive as opposed to a Chiefs team that, I don't want to say backed into the number one seed. They had a pretty much locked up at the beginning of December, and they threatened with giving it up if they didn't finish business in that last game. That's all.
Well, nobody threatened them.
You played the freaking Raiders, okay? I mean,
just saying.
Denver. What's up, Jim?
But they set themselves up for that over the first.
But I think
isn't it an Andy Reid thing, though? Don't Andy Reid teams always start hot? And somebody, I think it was Ninkovich, might have said this earlier in the season. Said,
there was a lull in like December with
Andy
them. That's
Reid.
All.
Throws every, you know, the Patriots save stuff and they try to save stuff that they haven't shown all year for the playoffs. They say Andy Reid just throws it all on the table. He throws it all out there. So by the time he gets to the playoffs, that's part of the reason they struggle so much.
He would know
because they've already shown everything and there's no surprises left.
He would know. I didn't play against Andy, you know, so I didn't, you know, I don't have that type of experience. It's interesting. I did a one-on-one with Bledsoe earlier this morning and we're going back to talk about game planning and early stuff and how, you know, sometimes you need to wake up mid-season. Like, we never did that. When we were bad, when we had 2-14 years, we were the same freaking team week 1, 2, 3, 4. And we talked about being 3-6 that 94 year when the Minnesota game happened. And he said there was sort of an awakening because you get in and you think, okay, I already had a year under my belt, half a year into this one, we're 3-6. All we do is we keep the tight end in, two backs, play action, keep it tight, establish a run, play good defense. And at that halftime when he started to sling it, like, Parcells realized, I need to change a little bit as a coach because of the type of people we have around us. And you sort of evolve as a team from week to week. And he said, you notice that change. We rip off 7 in a row, and you're off and running, and there's a different thought and feel to the team. And maybe there is something to that with Andy. I don't know. Like, they didn't run anything with Patterson the last 3 weeks. Yeah. Like, what's Josh? I mean, it was put him in the backfield. And like,
where was Cordarrelle Patterson on Sunday? Not that they needed him.
But to what Brady's dad was telling me too, he goes, he loves him. Talking about Patterson, he goes, he's one of the most physical players he said he's ever played, but he's got the gift of speed. Like, what's Josh got with that guy that
I'm not concerned quarter. About the Patriots offense on Sunday.
I'm not either.
I'm not.
I'm defense concerned.
Not my issue.
Defense
not
concerned.
Anybody's issue, really.
No, you're right. You're right.
Their offense will be fine. This is the problem. This is my biggest problem with this game. Tom Brady can play really well. He can be great, and they still lose.
Just like Mahomes.
And those are the worst types of games for this team.
Just like Mahomes.
Brady can go out, he can be the best version of Tom Brady.
Oh, you mean like Super Bowl?
Yes.
Oh, that one.
Yes.
I kind of got away from that because he was really bad this year. Brady, the cliff hit him.
Guy can go out and play great, and the team doesn't win.
Aside from the fact that it's a Super Bowl as opposed to an AFC championship, this would be if it goes down in similar fashion, right?
This could play out exactly the same.
Exactly the same way. It's much more palatable because you're not getting beat by Nick Foles.
This is why it's such a hard.
You're getting beat by somebody who appears to be like emerging as a generational talent at the position. Mahomes, if he, heaven forbid, he gets better than what he is right now, which conceivably he could.
Oh, he will get better
over the next few years. Do you? I mean, is anyone going to say he's not one of the best at his position for this era? Yeah, I mean, the guy is doing
in the league right now.
In the league right now.
If you want to be considered the best of an era, you got to do it for a little longer than a year.
I agree. But if you get beat by Patrick Mahomes doing Patrick Mahomes things in a game that just flipped the score from when these two teams played at Gillette earlier in the season, you can at least understand that and wrap your head around it much more so than you can Nick Foles leading the Eagles to a Super Bowl victory in a shootout game.
Turns out Nick Foles doesn't stink.
Right.
He doesn't.
Last week wasn't Nick Foles' fault.
No one really believed that at the Super Bowl last year.
We thought it was beforehand.
It's like, okay, it's time for this carriage to turn back into a pumpkin and him to, you know, turn back into Nick Foles. No, yeah, it turns out you're right, Beetle.
When he hit Jeffrey on that touchdown, I knew we were in trouble. Last year.
Let's go.
Nobody thinks Mahomes stinks.
Nope.
Nobody.
Nobody.
The only thing you can say about him is that he got anointed too early. Early on in the season, you know, people were heaping accolades on him, which have proven so far not to be untrue, but it started really early for
the Chiefs' passing game is, and this includes not only the quarterback. I think tight end is a wash. I like Zach Ertz a lot. Their receivers are better. Kansas City's receivers are better than what Philadelphia had.
Yeah. I think Philly's backs were better.
I was feeling so good about this game yesterday.
I mean, that's the type of game it could be, though.
No.
And which is why, Hardy, it's so hard to pick because the Patriots are in that until the very end. It could be the type of game where whoever has the ball last. Yeah. And by the way, I like that the temperature is going to continue to go up.
You like that?
Yeah, I don't hate that.
He gripped the ball better.
I don't hate that. The passing game is better.
Gives the grass a little more chance to take.
Yeah, it's better.
Does it, Jim?
We'll start
Did
growing.
You go to turf better that way.
Classes in school. They might have to cut it before Sunday.
Jim, it doesn't grow. Okay, that thing ain't growing.
It was a joke.
Really?
A joke.
Okay, you better.
Is there any way
you're uptight? You're so uptight.
He's very uptight. He knows.
He's been up long. He got up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Wearing your Chiefs colored jacket.
Say Chief stuff.
Yes, it is.
This is not
black, red, white. Chiefs.
What's up, Chief?
Oh, we'll get to that later. Can't believe she picked this team.
Mike is in New Hampshire. Mike, what do you got?
Hey, I had a quick question. If the Patriots beat the Chiefs this week, what do you guys think will be the spread if they verse either the Saints or whatever the Saints or the other team?
There's a lot of things going on there. The Patriots would be the dog. Based on how Vegas feels about the four teams. How much of a dog, I don't know.
Not against the Rams.
I think they'd be favored against the Rams. I think it'd be a 3.
Why would you say that?
2.5-point dog against the Chiefs.
Because of the last odds. I think Rams were plus 350. The Patriots were plus 333.
The game?
Oh, I saw it the other way around. It was like plus 300 and plus 350 for New England.
Patriots would be favored against the Rams. They'd be underdogs against the Saints.
I'll look at the email.
No, you did.
Yeah.
Somebody sent your wrong email.
From Jimmy. Jimmy sends the odds.
I think Pats would be favored by 4 on the Rams. I think they'd be a 2.5-point dog to the Chiefs.
Yeah.
I mean, to the Saints.
Yeah. All right.
Well, there you go. There's your answer. Donovan's in Missouri. Quickly, Donovan, go ahead.
Hey, guys. So I live here in Kansas City.
Yeah.
And I listen to Fesco in the morning every now and then. It's usually you guys. It is terrible. I heard it last night that they're picking it as the coaching advantage. They're picking Andy Reid, which makes no sense.
That's silly.
By the way, I'm going to the game this Sunday. I'll be wearing my Patriots jersey. Go Pats. It's a 2014 jersey.
Don't hang up.
Okay.
I heard there's like 8,000 tickets left. What are you hearing out there on tickets and prices?
Oh, well, so the other day, it was Sunday evening. I looked up the tickets. They're about $350. And I figured if because of the weather, they might drop. And they did. I got my ticket. Me and my buddy got two tickets for $165 each.
I heard today they're available for $85, some tickets.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they are, but those tickets are hard to find as it is. I mean,
okay.
you're going through some second parties and things like that.
Yeah, but I just didn't know if they were like locally talking about, hey,
so 165, you get a decent
well,
for
there
that?
Was well there was like Tickets for Less was doing the sale for a limited time of $199 for a ticket, and that was like the in-town deal that I was hearing. But the temperature is supposed to rise.
Yeah, that's what we're seeing.
To instead of 6 degrees at kickoff, it's going to be like 22. So I'm glad I got the tickets because now I think the prices are just going to go up because more people are going to. And I've also heard that people are. I can't believe people are sapping out just because of weather. I mean, it's a football game. What do you expect? I mean, hell or high water. You know,
they should be going for $5,000 a pop. This has happened in Pittsburgh, and it was their first
time. That's a little
people
extreme.
Take out second.
That's a Super Bowl
it's
price.
A joke. It's a joke.
Jesus. It's a Super Bowl price there.
That's
so
not Paulie over there, right?
What?
That's not Paulie, right?
No.
Okay.
Don't.
I can't take a shock to the ticker like that. Don't.
617-779-0985. What happened last night with Kyrie Irving? He had some interesting things to say. We'll get to that after the headlines.
Sports Hub Headlines.
You're right, Beetle. Kyrie did have some interesting things to say last night as the Celtics took care of business against the Raptors, 117-108. Kyrie?
You know, in this league, you know, how many games you play, no matter what's going on the outside or anything like that, you know, you just got to truly appreciate playing the game that you love and doing it at a very high level and having some fun with it. And I felt like we did a great job of that tonight and feeding off our fans as well.
Kyrie led Celtics scorers with 27 points. They stay home to play Memphis tomorrow night. Bruins lost to the Flyers 4-3 in Philadelphia. Both two Bruins goals, courtesy of Peter Cehlárik, while Sean Couturier ended up with a hat trick for the home team last night. They're right back at it tonight. Bees are home to take on St. Louis. Judd Surratt and Bob Beers have the call, starting with the pregame at 6:30 on the Bruins Radio Network, driven by the all-wheel drive Honda CRV. Everyone present and accounted for. And fully participating in yesterday's Patriots practice as they get ready to take on the Kansas City Chiefs in Kansas City on Sunday in the AFC Championship game. Headlines are brought to you by comedian Ron White coming to the Wilbur on Friday, February 1st, and the Chevalier Theater on Saturday, February 2nd. Tickets go on sale tomorrow at noon. Ticketmaster.com. I'm Hardy on Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
This is the home of the Bruins. With the Bruins. Zoe and Bertrand are live at Warrior Ice Arena from the Star Market Sports Deck on 98.5, the Sports Hub, and streaming on the Sports Hub app.
Now the Celtics by two and the ball. Clock rolling with 1:43 to go. And you hear the crowd. Kyrie, crazy deep three.
Baby, Kyrie! Kyrie, spit on him, brother. You spit in the whale.
Kyrie.
Somebody give me a diaper, man. I just did something.
Kyrie Irving pops the collar and may just have popped this one open with a Steph Curry-like three from 30 feet away. 1:39 to go. Celtics lead 111 to 106.
That's stupid.
Great job, Max, finishing that call with that is stupid. That went down officially as a 31-footer.
What do you have to do with a well? You talking about a well?
I don't know.
A diaper?
I don't know. That made it 111-106 with a minute 39 to go. Celtics pull away and win last night against the Raptors, 117-108, your final. Boy, do they need that.
Somebody asked the question last night, okay, where do you have to start guarding guys for the shot in the NBA now? Like, at what point do you have to pick them up? Not just picking up the ball handler and trying to direct him one way or the other, but when do you have to start guarding as though he is also a shooter?
That depends.
We've talked about this with Brad Stevens about possibly moving the line or creating a four-point line. Yep. And he's talked about the way they practice. They practice playing defense, where they position guys. It's getting more and more difficult. It's making the game more fun.
Yep.
That's ridiculous.
Kyrie had those back-to-back shots. He had the pull-up, and he's got Kawhi, like, right there on him. Like,
What would you rather see? Would you rather see that last night or a big dunk?
That.
Not even close.
It's a home run.
That's so much more impressive.
See a screen pass or a bomb?
Love that. It was awesome.
Yeah. Although I did love seeing Horford dunk it a couple of times last night, asserting himself. Look, for a team that had its issues and they had that bad stretch on the road, and you see them not being able to play well together, they played well together last night. It wasn't just Kyrie. Kyrie had 27 points. Kyrie led the team. Okay, good. That's what he's supposed to do. But they played a good team game last night, too.
Does it alarm you that it's sort of a Rondo-esque quality about the team that lights are its brightest, Gabe's got some juice.
Yeah.
Best team in the East coming in.
Well, I don't know.
You're on a slide. No, we set it up in Stevens' interview.
Did they
go out there? They're going to win. Play their best game.
Did they play the playoffs in the dark with nobody watching? No. Oh, they play their best in big games.
Yeah.
Good.
So Kyrie is at an interesting week. Kyrie had a disagreement with Brad Stevens in the huddle, right? He had a disagreement. He seemed to get into it with Gordon Hayward on the court Saturday in losing to Orlando. He then, after the game, called out the young players on the team, pretty much called out everybody.
Jaylen Brown.
Didn't say his name, but called out players. And then he came back earlier this week, and we talked to Sean Grandy about this. It seemed like he wanted to take it back or wanted to apologize, but didn't really do that. And so
most people thought he got benched and didn't really have a leg thing, and this is sort of a quiet benching.
Maybe it is.
Why don't you just sit down for a second and watch?
Yeah, why don't you just sit down and chill? Because, you know, regroup. Last night, after Kyrie obviously has 27, big three there in the final minutes, he speaks to the media after, and I think this is true about Kyrie, good or bad. He is ridiculously honest and genuine, and I don't think he has much of a filter. I think he just lets it all out there. I think when he speaks, I don't think there's a lot of bull crap with this guy. That can sometimes be an awesome thing. Sometimes it can be a bad thing for you. So what was
it's
case?
Kind of a mix of both here.
Yeah, I mean, what was the case last night for Kyrie Irving? Here he is postgame.
You've been in their shoes, though. I mean, you've been the young guy, and you've had older players pull you aside and tell you what you thought. They think you need to do, but you didn't think you needed to do it. How tough is that to transfer the message?
Well, I mean, you know, I tell you one thing, and obviously this is something that it was a big deal for me because I had to call Bron, you know, and tell him, like, you know, I apologize for being that young player that wanted to everything at his, you know, at his fingertips, and I wanted everything to be at, you know, my threshold. I wanted to be the guy that led us to championship. I wanted to be the leader. I wanted to be all that, and, you know, the responsibility of being the best player in the world and leading a team is something that's not meant for many people, and Bron was one of those guys that came to Cleveland and tried to really show us what it's like to win a championship, and it was hard for him, and sometimes getting the most out of the group, it's not the easiest thing in the world, and like I said, only few are meant for it or chosen for it, and, you know, I feel like the best person to call was him because, you know, he's been in the situation, you know, he's been there with me where I've been the young guy of, you know, being a 22-year-old kid and, you know, wanting everything right now, you know, coming off an all-star year starting, and then, you know, this heck of a presence comes back, and now I got to adjust my game to this guy, and, you know, you take it personal, but at the end of the day, he just wants what's best, and he has a legacy. He wants to leave, and he has a window he wants to capture, so I think what that brought me back to was like, all right, how do I get the best out of this group of the success they had last year, and then helping them realize what it takes to win a championship.
Huh. Suck on that.
My gut instinct is to say, you hypocrite.
Oh, yeah, I know.
You
hypocrite. I know what you're
all
saying,
you
but
did,
it's brute
all
honesty, though.
All you did was want to get out of Cleveland because of LeBron and the way that LeBron was doing things. And now he's the guy you call to figure it all out. And you know what, Zo? I'm going to refrain from doing that. You know why? This shows tremendous growth from Kyrie Irving.
Yeah.
Now he knows what it's like to be the adult in the room.
But even the
and
question.
And he sees that it's not so easy.
Even the question was almost a setup, it seemed. Like, hey, you've had this before. You've had older players yell at you. Oh, that's right. I had to call LeBron.
He just said. I mean,
I know. I think it's so natural.
There's so much to say about this 2 minutes of him talking. He basically admits.
You could listen to it twice and feel two totally different
ways. As a young player, didn't want to conform to doing things anybody else's way, like LeBron's way. And so, therefore, he didn't handle it well. He's basically telling you that maybe he was wrong to tap out of Cleveland. And maybe he shouldn't have been so eager to get out
of
there.
I didn't know how good I had it in Cleveland.
And that doesn't mean he doesn't want to be with the Celtics, by the way. Don't take that the wrong way.
I didn't know how to win then.
He's basically telling you that, well, in hindsight, I can see how he felt, given how I feel dealing with players that are younger than me that I don't think quite get it yet. That fair to say?
He probably called him.
I think that's what he's trying to tell us.
Dude, tell me out here, man. I don't know what's going on. I feel this way about Jason. And he goes, hey, it's exactly the way I felt about you, and you didn't realize it. And now you're on this flip reversal side of that. Now you need to realize that they're young, and you were in that spot in the way that they feel. And you got to adapt to them, too.
Do you think LeBron said that?
Yeah.
Hey, Kyrie, now you know how I felt.
Yes. Well, why not? I mean, what do you got to lose at that point? Like, yeah, I'll help you out. It's exactly how I felt about you. And you had to go and be a dick about it, you know?
I don't think we could have won that.
But we could have won three, you know?
But what a stroke for King LeBron, for King James's ego, that Kyrie comes calling to ask LeBron, how do you do this? How did you do this? How did you deal with this? And he's saying, now you know how I felt, Kyrie. I wasn't doing it. Maybe I made mistakes, but I wasn't doing it to be a jerk. And so now Kyrie's on the other side of it. Mm. That's sort of what's happened here. And for Kyrie to admit it, I think that takes something. I could give that guy credit. Brutally honest. Kyrie Irving is brutally honest. And he admitted something last night that most guys wouldn't admit. We got more on this. We'll get to more on Kyrie Irving throughout the day, because those comments last night are fascinating on a lot of levels. 617-779-0985. We'll check in with Billy Jaffe coming up next, and Phil Perry will be with us in the 11 o'clock.
Zolak and Bertrand are overlooking the rink at the Warrior Ice Arena on the Star Market Sports Deck on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
His left wing feet hit his own guy back at his own blue line. McAvoy, and the horn is going to sound. Sean Couturier with a hat trick. And the Philadelphia Flyers win it 4-3 to even the season series against the Boston Bruins at one game apiece.
The telephone number. We'll get your calls coming up. You want to jump on board? Phil Perry's going to join us here at Warrior. Let's go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline and welcome in Billy Jaffe. Talk some Bruins. Billy!
Theo!
How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Are you in the building here somewhere? And calling us?
No, that would be very funny, but I'm not far from it. No, that would be very funny.
But you come watch three guys skate?
No. I'm going to talk to a few people and take care of some other stuff and try and forget about last night's game.
And, what do you make of the healthy scratch for David Backes?
I don't think it was unfair. I think that it was, they're trying to figure out what to do with that line. Peter Solaris deserved the call up, and not just because he scored two goals in that game, although that's nice reward for him and the team, but, David Backes has at times shown some good stuff from late November after Thanksgiving for a couple of weeks and played real well, and then game tailed off a bit. And then recently coming off suspension, had a really good first game, and it's been inconsistent. It's something that the pace of the game. It's something that's going to be for him is always going to be the big challenge. And he works his ass off. I give him credit in that regard. But it's you got to try different things. And Beadle, that's what it comes down to. It's not a shot at him or anything like that by the team. It's saying, hey, listen, we need more out of a lot of players, and we got to try this.
They got a pretty good home stretch coming up here.
Yes, they do. The whole month of January has been good.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, like the schedule helps them. So, not to say they were looking for that, but, you're coming off the Caps game the other day and, just can't find a way to beat that team and just everything that goes into it. How do you think the team feels right now as far as where it's trending? Because it's almost like a roller coaster type.
Yeah, what I'm wondering, though, it's just me surmising here. It's human nature. When you've got a vacation coming up.
Yeah.
And you start checking out a few days before.
Yep.
Well, for hockey players in season to have 8-9 days off, they've got that coming up after Saturday's game. I'm not saying they are. I'm just saying I wonder if they're not as sharp, knowing that they've got some time coming up. And so they wonder, you asked me where they're at?
That's why I was going to ask it, yeah.
that may have something to do with it right now, because I've seen other teams Washington be one of them that have lost focus in some ways.
No, bored. Listen,
I mean, but here's the thing. The Bruins played really well against Montreal. We didn't like, you know, the result, the end result, but they battled hard. They played well. All right, but they, you know what, last night, I don't care what the numbers said on the ice, the shots and the saves and the this and that. They were up 2-0 in that game. It still wasn't real sharp 2-0. You lock that game down. You play one of the worst teams in the NHL. And to me, by not being able to lock it down and being very much discombobulated upon their entries into the zone, especially on power play, it says to me that their focus was off there. Is that a result of what's about to happen on Saturday night? Maybe.
All right, so there have been rumors and reports about the Bruins being involved in trade talks across the league. You know, that's what happens this time of year. That's not unusual. But when they bring up Solarik and he plays, I thought, well, last night, is that in hopes of maybe him being the piece that they want to add? Is it maybe possibly they want to showcase him and use him in a trade? What is this all about?
I don't think that that would be unheard of, Beetle, but he also that usually is more evident or whatever when they're doing that. When you call up a player that you're like, wait a second, that guy didn't deserve to get called up. He's been okay, but this guy's been better. Peter Slark has been, you know, of the healthy guys down in Providence, the guy, the best guy to deserve the call up. With all that said, sure, Beetle. It wouldn't hurt them for him to be great if some other team says, you know what, all right, you know what, this kid could fit into our roster. We've seen him at the NHL level these past couple of games. I also do think, though, that they're saying, there has to be an element of saying, wait a second, we've tried 8, 9, 10 different guys around David Krejci. Let's make a 10 or 11 with Peter Solarik. Let's see what we can get going. They've got to figure this out. It wouldn't surprise me, or at least I wouldn't be against tonight, seeing Pasternak with Krejci, Marchand and Bergeron together, have those two paired, and then work other guys around them. Because you got to get, you know, when Krejci's going, he's so good, they got to keep him going.
All right, Billy. Appreciate the time.
It's good seeing you the other day on a couch, Bill.
It's great seeing you, too. It's always good to share a couch time with you. Yes, excellent. Have fun this weekend, guys, with the game.
All right.
Be good, guys.
See you, Billy.
Yeah.
Thanks. Bye. Billy Jaffe from Nesson, pregame and postgame. Don't forget, coming up February 7th at Royal Boston, the second annual ping pong tournament to benefit the Floating Hospital for Children at Tufts Medical Center and the Boston Bruins Foundation. It's Patrice Bergeron and Toucher and Rich presenting Pucks and Paddles. Again, February 7th, Thursday, Royal Boston. Bid to play doubles ping pong with your favorite Bruins player, Toucher and Rich, Wallach, myself, Zoe.
Ah.
VIP tickets, $200. Gives you access to the autograph session with the Bruins. General admission tickets, $50. All this information is on our website, and that's where you go to buy tickets, 985thesportshub.com. Make sure you check that out. Phil Perry of NBC Sports Boston standing by. He joins us at Warrior in 90 seconds. Clock hour.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Eric Fishman, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
Woo! The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.